Hello, everyone, and welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things Gumshoe. I am JM, and with me tonight are not just Mark and Becca, but also Rook, Evan, and Kirk, several of our patrons. We are doing our live actual play event tonight. Becca is going to be running her adventure, Midnight at the Clock Tower. And so without further ado, I'm just going to turn it over to Becca. Becca, take it away.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Hello and welcome, gentlemen players, as well as all of our viewers and listeners. Tonight, we're going to run Trail of Cthulhu, which is a Gumshoe game put out by Pelgrane Press. And we'll see if I can't make this group go insane or, kill off their characters. One of the two hopefully will happen. I have no idea, honestly. But it should be fun. And so we're going to go ahead and get started and set the scene. So it is December 31st, 1933. It's not midnight yet. It's not really close to midnight. It's afternoon, evening, leaning towards. The day was warmer than it has been all week. So a lot of the snow has melted around town. Tonight it's supposed to drop again and ice will form. But the five of you are here at the Blue Coal Saloon. You all know it is owned by Robbie Landry, an honest citizen. And currently a lot of the tables are fairly empty. But the one that you are all sitting at is full of pretty animated discussion, because in the last week, each one of you has seen Millie Clark, the serving girl here at the saloon, being killed by a different animal, each with three glowing red eyes. However, as you sit at this table, you see Miss Millie laughing and flirting with the bartender, Derry. Something is stalking young Miss Millie, and you know that her true death is imminent. So we're going to go around this table in the saloon, and I would like you to give myself, as well as our viewers and listeners, a few pieces of information. Who are you? How does your character react to the death of Miss Millie and yet seeing her still alive? And lastly, who is someone you know at the table here, and how do you know them? Like, we're going to quickly establish the fact that this is a group of friends, or at least acquaintances. So let's go ahead and we'll start. We'll go clockwise. Start right in the middle. JM, that's you.
Oh, I was going to ask. So, did we saw her get killed? But was it like in dreams, or did I?
It was on the street. Then a crowd swarmed the body. Police showed up, took the body away. And then later, you realized whether or not it's because you talked to Robbie or because you saw her again with your own eyes, you see Millie Clark is still alive.
Okay. I'm playing Dr. Samuel Sneed. I am an alienist, which is essentially a sort of the generation before we had psychologists. We believe people who see the Cthulhu mythos and snap are just alienated from their true selves. And our job is to help reconcile these things and put mind and soul and body back together. And so through that, I use my extensive use of hypnosis and pharmacology to aid in that. And the I am actually tied to two of the characters, but I'll start with Hank. Hank is a good friend, a dear ally, and sometimes the muscle that I need when dealing with patients who are alienated from their true mind. Was there something else I needed to add in there?
Okay. How did you react to her death?
Oh, probably very clinically. Okay. What really intrigued me and triggered my thirst for knowledge is the fact that other people saw her die in different ways.
Yes. Excellent. So yeah, players, listeners, viewers, you heard JM mention his thirst for knowledge, and that is his drive. When you make a gumshoe character in Trail of Cthulhu, you have your pillars of stability, people and ideas who can help kind of support you, especially when you see the crazy. And then your drive is what gets you to go into the dark room where you're pretty sure the monster is. So Samuel's drive is a thirst for knowledge. All right. Going around the table, our next friend clockwise is Dr. Wells, or Rook.
Hello, Dr. Wells here. And I did not react well at all to seeing Miss Millie violently murdered by that random cat on the street. That was most unkind. I happen to know Dr. Sneed, I would say. This makes sense in that I would believe him to be a charlatan, an absolute charlatan, using pharmaceuticals as a means of altering one's mental state is just so irritating. But he's a very personable person, so we're, I would say, rivals in the field of medicine.
I can get behind that.
Very nice. All right. Rook, what did you say your drive was?
Drive in this instance would be science, because it's scientifically impossible for somebody to be killed and then come back to life in the way that she was killed, and yet it happened, and then apparently other people are seeing it. Scientifically improbable. But seeing improbable, because... but not impossible. And I'm not happy about it.
Excellent. All right. Our next friend is Leroy, played by Kirk.
Rebecca, I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
Are we in Chicago?
Philadelphia.
We're in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Good old Philly.
The second best place in the 13 colonies. Okay.
Sure. I'm curious where the first one is, but continue.
Anywhere but Philly.
Fair.
So hi, I'm Leroy Jenkins. I'm an antiquarian. I love books and I love old manuscripts. And if you find me some papyrus, I will be in love with you forever. I do have a thirst for knowledge, which means if there's a page left unturned, I'm probably the one to turn the page. Because honestly, you don't turn a page, you don't know the answer on the next page, and you don't have the new question. Yeah, when I saw her, it was a really weird three-eyed baboon with glowing red eyes. And, you know, there's a problem because baboons, one, don't have three eyes and their eyes aren't glowing red. So the fact that she's sitting here right now is fantastic, because it means it probably hasn't happened yet, or I should just lay off the... absinthe and laudanum. Otherwise, I know the proprietor of the bar, because Robbie's got connections, and you know, he knows people who know people, and I know people who know people, and even though the people that we know may not be the same people, we can probably get something from those people together.
And you know what they say, people who know people are the luckiest people in the game. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yes, obviously, clearly. Excellent. All right. So let's go over to the proprietor of this establishment, our honest citizen, Robbie, played by Evan. Tell us about yourself.
I mean, I'm kind of a silent partner with Fat Georgie. I worked on the railroad that went down the tubes with crash, and so I do a little this, a little that. I know Leroy Jenkins, the other person I know is the doc, Dr. Sneed. He sometimes needs a little help. I've met Hank on one or two occasions. He's been on one side of the patient. I've been on the other. Yeah, Millie. I mean, Millie works for Fat Georgie. And I saw some crazy three-eyed creature. I thought it was a ram or something. It happened so fast. And then, like you said, there's a crowd and I go back, and then that night she comes in. Boy, that made me curious. Boy, did I want to know what in the world was going on there. But, you know, how do you ask? Hey, didn't I just see you killed by a ram with three eyes? I don't know. So I'm watching. And I'm trying to, and then I talk to the doc, and he says he saw Millie. And this is damn peculiar. I mean, applesauce. What in the world is going on here?
Applesauce. Exactly. That is a great question. Maybe our friend Hank, played by Mark, can shine light on this curiosity.
Hank, you have to excuse the voice. I'm still healing from the war. Gas attack got me. And I've been seeing old Doc Sam. He's been trying to get my head straight since the war. And, you know, sometimes I help him do some things. I saw Millie killed by this creature with a black trench coat, and it had a gas mask with three glowing eyes, and I immediately went back to the war. It just struck her down with a trench shovel, and I was done. I passed out. When I came to, I saw Doc, and he told me she's alive, and I couldn't believe it. Had to come see for myself, because Hank is driven by adventure. Even though he hates the war, he keeps going after that high of the adventure and the danger that keeps driving him. Adventure will probably kill him.
Probably. But you're alive now and enjoying some of the fine beverages here at the saloon. As you guys have shared your experiences with the death of Millie, I'm going to assume that you're coming to the conclusion that you guys have to figure this out. The curiosity, the thirst for knowledge, that adventure that is lurking, and the fact to prove the science right or wrong is definitely egging you on. So, how do you want to get more information? Allow me to offer you some avenues. You could stay at the bar and talk to Millie, see if she knows anything. You could go to her apartment while she works here, or you could go look at the other bodies. It is not quite dark outside.
I would like to go talk with Millie. See what I can make her suss out. Oh, not in the way I assume you are thinking, Hank, but yes, I'll take out my pocket watch and
All right. So I believe Samuel Sneed is about to go and hypnotize a young girl.
Well, it's so creepy when you put it that way.
I was about to say, I believe the Ethics Committee might have something to say about this.
I got a question for the doc there. Is there a word you're going to use to put me under? You know, like every time you hear stagecoach.
Ooh, because I could put... Can I give him a post-hypnotic suggestion?
Yes.
All right, Mark, I'm going to have it be Sasquatch.
Cryptic.
Make a note of that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you go over to talk to her, or do you invite her to the table?
Oh, I will go over to talk with her. What do I get just from kind of being in her vicinity with, I don't know, things like, I mean, I don't know much about art history, but I've got a lot of biology. And so I would like to, I've got biology, I have medicine, I have assess honesty. Does she seem to be in a...
in a place? Yes. Yeah, so you go over, talk to her. A quick medicine, just a know-how as you kind of assess, like how healthy does she even look? She looks at the peak of health. She seems to have missed all of the diseases that we were talking about were rampant in 1933.
No signs of syphilis.
No signs of syphilis.
Right.
Thank God.
It was a public place, Doc.
No signs of syphilis. She looks pretty cheerful. She, as you want to assess honesty, she turns and greets you with a bright smile. She kind of gives an aura of innocence and carefree, but you've seen her present herself in a way that has gotten her extra tips, and not promiscuously either. Like, somehow she is able to talk people out of their money. Lucky for Robbie. But she exudes this aura of innocence. And she turns to you and she goes, "Oh, did you need something else?"
Yeah, so when exactly did I see her die?
Roll me a d6.
Just a d6?
Yes, just a d6.
One.
Yesterday.
All right. Right about what time?
It was dark when she was attacked. There are streetlights. And you were walking home from the office.
So 7...
7-ish, yeah.
All right. Oh, Millie, I don't really need anything. I thought I saw you last night out by my office, right around 7 o'clock?
That's weird. I was here last night. I was working. I don't think I left before midnight.
And she's being honest?
She seems to be being honest, yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and then, I mean, if you had seen me outside, I mean, you would have seen me with, Detty, so...
Who is this Detty?
Oh, and she, like, a blush just, like, fills her face. She goes, no, he's my boyfriend, but he's probably gonna be my fiancé soon. I saw a ring that he had, and I think he's going to... I'm so excited.
Have we met Detty before anywhere here in the bar?
Robbie may be the only one who had.
Interesting.
As he has come to pick Millie up from work several times.
All right, I'll go back and just relay to the table. She said that she was here till midnight last night, and I saw her getting mauled by a three-eyed wolf. At 7. So she doesn't seem to be lying. When did you all see Millie attacked?
But 3 days ago, to be
4 days ago.
And it was always in the dark.
Interesting.
The dark.
We all gotta get our eyes checked.
Kirk, you're muted.
Applesauce.
Applejack. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've slept since then, but probably a couple days ago, it was dark. But you don't miss a baboon?
No.
No, you certainly don't.
A baboon.
Hmm.
Don't have those around here.
Yeah, of course not. It's the wrong climate for them. But The only thing that I could think to do would be to... You said something about there being other bodies? Becca?
Well, in theory, yes. You have each seen a young woman die, and the police have taken away the bodies, so you can assume... Okay.
In that case...
I was just going to say, I know as an alienist, can get access to hospital records, medical records, things of that nature.
Me too.
Curses, he can do the same thing.
So you guys are going to like one up each other.
No, what I'll do is I'll let him go and do it, and then I'll hypnotize everyone else to think that I did it, and therefore, when he has the false memory of doing that, I will win.
Super sneaky.
Look, when his last name is Sneed, what did you expect? But
I don't know.
But yes, apologies to all the Sneeds out there who are listening to this.
We can always tie her to a chair and see if she appears somewhere else.
Well, it's a good idea, Hank.
Employee.
I like the way you're thinking, but Robbie has a point. She does serve us. We did establish prohibition ended earlier in the month, correct? Okay, awesome. Sorry, Dr. Wells.
It's all right. We should definitely go and check out these other bodies. I feel that they have information that may be pertinent to us figuring out. After all, it does feel like we're a little bit on the clock.
All right. You guys want to go to a mortuary? Is that the goal?
He's going.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some guys. Maybe.
Okay. Robbie. You have met Daddy, Millie's boyfriend. However, you haven't ever really seen him come into the bar before 10 or 11 p.m. And then he'll often walk her home. So you know if you want to talk to him, it will be 3 to 4 hours before he shows up. Okay.
Well, we got some time if we want to talk to that guy, and I don't know. Depending on what we find out, maybe we do need to make a little trip to, I happen to know where she lives. She's, on the payroll. Maybe we could just have a look-see around, like I said, I'm real curious about what in the world is going on here.
But, I think that is a great idea, Hank and Robbie. But perhaps we should indulge Dr. Wells in his unhealthy fascination with dead bodies. And we should go investigate. Yeah. Well, that first.
Step by step.
Unhealthy. Why, I never. So.
I mean, this is going to go well. So,
look, Dr. Wells, it's all good. No one's accusing you of using intestines as a jump rope, so it's fine.
That is the most ghastly thing I've heard tonight.
I take out my notebook and immediately start looking at Dr. Wells and taking notes. So you're saying you have you or have you not stopped using intestines as jump ropes, Dr. Wells?
I'm not going to deign to answer that with any sort of actual response.
Evasion. Yes, no, that's fine.
I lean over to Dr. Sneed. You know, during the war, we had a few guys that liked to play with dead bodies.
I've heard about the lost battalions. Robbie, you have a car, yes?
Yeah, I got an old beater. Yeah. I think we can all squeeze in the jalopy. Come on.
All right. The five of you squeeze into the beater.
All right, it's an older style. It's what... Tough times. Yeah.
Just imagine Wells just between.
Hold that down. I'm going to crank the front.
It may still have running boards. So honestly, I'll, roll down a window and someone just hangs onto the side.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, it was warmer today. So if you are hanging out the window, It's only starting to get colder. It was a balmy 40 degrees.
Ooh.
Positively. 40 degrees. Are we? Oh, yeah, right. It's December. Yeah,
that's right.
It's December.
Practically three quarters short weather.
So you guys head over to the police mortuary. Yes, sir?
Oh, we want to get back before the roads ice up because this thing is not good in ice.
Yes.
I'll do my best to make it as quickly as possible.
It will drop very quickly tonight. Okay. So, Dr. Wells, you lead this colorful group into the mortuary. Do you have a name for who you know, or shall I help you out?
You know what? Scott Ridley here. Is there happens to be my contact here? Scott Ridley.
Awesome. Sergeant Ridley. He is on duty. He sees you walk in. And he kind of stands up, pulls down his jacket, adjusts, walks over to you and goes, good evening, Dr. Wells. And looks at the rest of them.
They're with me. We are here on mission of scientific inquiry that has a deadline, unfortunately. So if you could allow us to the mortuary, please.
I could definitely allow you in. For sure. I am going to need some sort of flattery, reassurance. Something to help ease this cop's mind.
Would my medical credentials allow me in as well?
They definitely could. I would like you to roll for them. You have medicine, right?
Yeah. I do have medicine at 4, so I'm a practicing MD. I'm a licensed MD.
Right. I'm kind of spacing. I was under the impression that in Gumshoe you had to spend your points before you roll.
For general abilities, yes.
Okay.
Medicine is an investigative ability.
Okay, awesome. Would you like to spend any points? I will let this medicine then also carry into the actual investigation.
Sure, I could do that.
Okay. Dr. Wells. Oh.
A bureaucracy to cut through the red tape?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm just standing in the back and I got my hat down.
I'll spend a point in bureaucracy and talk to him. Say, look, it's a cold night. The docs here want to look at some bodies. I just want to go back to the blue coal and have a beer. Can you let us get in and take a look and get out? The doc's real inquisitive about this stuff. I don't know. I think he's got something going on with bodies. I don't know.
Okay.
This is part-time. I'm a part-time mortician. I'm terribly sorry that the economy is in a down the drain.
Sure. That's what it is. Would you like to spend anything, Dr. Wells? Relying on your acquaintances and friends to get themselves in.
Oh, what do I have here? I'll spend a point in reassurance.
Okay.
And because I have rapport with the sergeant here, so I mean, like, please, you know me. I'm as respectful as they come. Okay, so.
What'd you get?
That would be a total. Do you add the point that you use? Okay, in which case, 6.
Great. Wonderful. So in Gumshoe, anytime that I ask for a test, and especially with your general abilities, so whether or not you can shoot a firearm, you can flee from a scene, you can scale a wall, you can grapple, something like that, you're going to be aiming for a target number, typically 4. Some things make it easier, some things make it more difficult, and we are running pulp Trail of Cthulhu, which means you guys are a bit more kind of know-how. You have just a little bit more information at your fingertips, so I will let you know what, like, the DN numbers are, difficulty numbers are ahead of time. And in this case, it was a 4. So, well, with your 6, with the extra spends that have been added, the group easily gets past Sergeant Ridley. However, he does kind of side-eye Leroy and Robbie, as the two gentlemen seem to just want to avoid notice. But you all enter. You are able to read the documents and the charts, and you're able to find the bodies. There are 6 bodies that all have the same wounds. Yes, sir, you are counting correctly. That means one of them was missed. That all seem to have the same wounds from animal attacks within the last 6 days.
Do they all bear similar resemblance to Millie?
Yes, they do. They have similar physical resemblance to her. There's small differences. One of them seems to have freckles. Another one had, like, her hair is not quite the right shade. Eye color is a little bit different. Height is a little bit off. There's just enough differences that, sure, in a quick glance, it looks like Millie. But as you sit there and look at these girls, you realize they all do look different. They are different people. But in the dark light, they could be mistaken for Millie Clark.
Robbie, I have a question for you.
Yeah?
You've met this boyfriend, yes?
I mean, he's been in, yeah.
How long has he been courting young Miss Millie?
About 6 months.
Yeah. 6 months. Been around.
Right. In which case, then, I believe that we probably should ask him a question, because more than likely, there's 5 of us and 6 bodies.
Okay. So, like, there's he saw high, 2.
There is a high likelihood. It makes sense to me, because all of us are close to Miss Millie in some form of fashion. Whether it be proximity or certain levels of intimacy, not in that way, looks specifically at Sneed. Like, I know what you're going to try to do and twist my words. How dare you?
Very aggressive for no apparent reason. This is fascinating. A fascinating case study. Have you been sleeping well, Dr. Wells?
But, okay.
What sleep? I'm a doctor. A real doctor.
All these.
I take care of patients. Have you done heart surgery today? I think not.
And the bodies have an autopsy yet, or are they just being stored?
Most of them are being stored. The earlier ones have had autopsies done.
Okay, the ones that haven't had an autopsy, I'm going to use my evidence collection to see if there's something, bit of fur, something to give away what did, you know, looking.
Okay.
Poking at the wounds, basically.
Okay. Yes.
So we are playing Pulp, correct?
Correct.
All right. So as an alienist, I can use I can use my assess honesty skill as forensic psychology. From the details of a crime scene, based off of, you know, evidence, I can, based off previous case studies of similar offenders, assemble a profile detailing the perpetrator's likely personal history, age, habits, and attitude. You will probably need to remind the keeper of this ability, which is what I am doing right now.
Thank you so much, because I did not reread all of your professions. I figured you guys would do that, and then let me know what you can do.
I can create a profile.
Great. I will give you plenty of information, Mark. If you would like to roll the dice and see if you can beat a DN of 4.
I just spend my points. I get two points, so I can spend the 2 points and you just give me more information.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'll give you plenty of information. All right. So we've got some gentlemen looking at bodies. One sputtering about doing heart surgery. Leroy and Robbie, now that you're in this room, what would you like to do?
Well, so these all look like Millie, but they're not Millie. I wonder if they've got these ladies' things, you know, these dames. Maybe they got their stuff around here.
Personal effects.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need to find the personal effects. And
maybe they got, like a letter that says their name on it or something.
I'm sure they had a toe tag with their name on it.
Well, I'm going to look at the perfect. They had
go for it, Evan.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm going to look through the personal effects.
Okay.
With anthropology to find anything tying them together other than just what they look like.
Okay. Awesome.
Maybe like addresses and something to connect them?
Yeah, or like, you know, the same calling card or, you know, maybe they all have a bizarre little, you know, parakeet foot on a keychain or something. I don't know.
Oh. And when Dr. Wells says something about heart surgery, I pull back the sheet. This one ain't got a heart, Doc.
No, it does not.
Do you want me to roll the anthropology or just burn the 2 points on?
No, you just spend the point. You spend the investigative points and Becca gives you the stuff.
Yes. Cool. I hand it out, like, make it rain. All right. So, information on the dead girls. Starting with the bodies. You are absolutely correct, Hank. They are missing their hearts. All of them have their hearts missing. A few of them look like they were clawed out. A few of them look like they were cut out. Two of the girls are missing their jawbones. Two of the girls are missing their fingers. The last two are missing their tongues.
Like all their fingers or just a finger on a hand or all the fingers?
All fingers.
Okay.
There are notes about the aggressiveness of animals. And as you look, Hank, you find no fur, no feathers, no animal product besides apparent claw slashing marks.
Well, so much for the savage parakeet.
Yes. So much for that. But each of these do look like they were attacked by different animals. And throwing in your investigative points, you do also notice that each girl has a mark, whether that is a cut, a bruise, or a gouge, in the middle of her forehead. Anthropology? Is that what was used?
Yep.
Awesome. You, as you're looking through the girl's stuff, you do kind of take note of that. And you know that there are several different cultures which consider this to be the placement of the third eye, where people can see into the more spiritual realms. In their stuff, you don't find anything linking. Like, they didn't go to the same book club. They didn't have similar clothes They appear to come from different economic stations. You find their names. Nothing seems to be out of the ordinary. You do find that two of the girls seem to have arrived in the United States sometime during the war. And they apparently were fleeing from conflict in Egypt. Anything you guys would like me to clear up? Add more to? Yes, sir.
Do I have any sort of good profile on the kind of person who would do this?
Your profile. All right. Okay, so all this information, hearing from Leroy about cultures and belief systems for the third eye, what pieces of the girls have been taken. Your profile comes to probably male. Mystical, religious, like heavy beliefs, probably believes in being able to perform mystical or religious acts. And unfortunately, you can't get any sense of like how tall or big this person would have been because the attacks are all done by animals. But very large animals. What animal do you recall attacking?
A wolf.
A wolf. Okay. When you saw it, you at first thought dog, and then you had to change it to wolf. And now as you're looking at the girl who was attacked by a wolf, you must have been further away or something because the wolf that looks like it would have attacked this would have been 10 feet tall, like 10 feet at the shoulders. And that's just ridiculous because of the way the swipes are coming from an upward angle. But that's not what you recall seeing.
Right.
But a person who would attack the girls in this way, take what they do, you're guessing it has to do with some sort of mysticism.
Mysticism, somebody who occultism. Is familiar with removing hearts, who may be under a great deal of stress. Has a fascination with the dead. Thank you. Thank you, Becca.
Putting
my profile together.
Anything I can do to help?
We definitely got completely different profiles out of that, but okay.
Fair enough.
Well,
the problem is I can't do it. It's not my thing.
If my my esteemed colleague here has no desire to perform any additional autopsies, then perhaps we have gleaned what we can here and should, as Robbie suggested, maybe go check out her apartment or wait around for this boyfriend to show up.
Do I get the feeling that any additional autopsy work would possibly reveal anything due to the fact that these are all done by animals and somebody has not shared their profile about?
Oh no, I share it. Male.
Oh, okay.
Probably very hyper focused on esoteric beliefs. Probably considers himself a savant among his peers. Probably some sort of large animal handler. Definitely familiarity with the removal of hearts and dead bodies. Probably under a lot of stress. Something recently caused him to act out. Maybe a snap. Maybe another colleague achieved an award that he hadn't. Something along those lines has caused.
Hey, Doc, is this the kind of person that would try and involve themselves in the investigation? No, but maybe, look, you're describing somebody who, like, if he's gathering, I don't know how, like, there aren't no wolves or baboons or things that are retrievers, but okay, this is all crazy. So if they're gathering the pieces and.
Yes, he would have to be a
taking
very.
Taking it to a person.
Yeah, he would have to be a very intelligent man to train animals to do this.
Well, look, maybe, I don't know. Would there be something that would stand out that people might notice, you know, at the place where he was or something? I mean, maybe I could put out a word here or there and see if anybody heard anything.
All right, so JM has no points in occult, but does anyone have points in occult that may be able to go, this sounds like an X or a Y? Because I'm thinking JM, not the respected Dr. Samuel Sneed. JM is thinking maybe werewolf, shapeshifter of some sort, their wolf, their castle.
And meanwhile, I'm thinking somebody that is either a zoologist or a...
I thought about checking out the zoo. Is there a zoo in Philadelphia in 1933?
I want to say yes.
That's a question.
One of those forward-thinking zoos with all concrete and cages?
Mm-hmm. 1874. So, yes.
It's quite rundown.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yes, there is a zoo.
Before we go too far down that possible occult angle, I have no problems at all, although my preferences are things far, far older than what some poor unfortunate soul may have in their icebox. Robbie, do you have a way into her abode?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can either break in or try to sweet talk her landlord.
Break. I mean, I really try not to break things.
Right.
But
Robbie is a completely upstanding member of society.
Obviously. I know this, you know this.
Breaking things.
Okay. You know, the other thing is,
I don't have doubts.
I mean, I saw this movie a couple of years ago. Like they go to the graveyard and they dig up the bodies. I mean, could that be the kind of science that you're talking about? Could that be happening?
I believe you're referring to...
That's absolute lunacy. And you're referring to the movie Frankenstein.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that was a hell of a movie.
Medically improbable, and definitely, I would actually, no, not improbable, impossible. Assembling a man.
You're telling me Hollywood is feeding me a bunch of bourgeois? Okay.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Crayford Jiggers made a whole lot of money just to fuel your knowledge. You may not have paid for grave diggers, but somebody did. Now, whether or not they harvested off of freshly killed bodies is a different matter entirely. And that's something of a completely different nature than what we're actually talking about. So let's not worry about going to graves. We've seen the bodies here. That's all well and good. We've seen what they're missing. You're all looking at me like I'm insane. I know.
No, no.
I get it.
I was just going to say, Leroy, I remember reading a paper by Mr. West, I believe, out in Providence, who spoke of similar things.
I didn't mean to bring up something to cause anybody to cast a kitten or nothing. You know, okay, we can... look, let's go to Millie's place. You know.
Who knows? Maybe we'll actually find a boyfriend there.
I mean, he's got a job, but you know, it's New Year's Eve.
Well, hey, so... if he's got a job, then awesome. It means she doesn't, you know, she doesn't have to be taking care of the schmuck.
Would prefer that we not use language like schmuck. Do you know what that is?
To the jalopy.
Hey.
Okay, Dingleberry, how about that? Is that good for you, Doc?
You know what?
Contact! All right, let's go. Roland.
That is how we learned how to PvP on Gumshoe.
Word fight.
All right. Cool. So, you
getting
guys.
Colder. Getting colder.
It is. There is some ice on the road. You didn't spend a whole lot of time in there, but it has gotten dark. The sun has set now. It is a little bit after 7 as you go. Robbie, are you the one driving this?
I am.
Great. I need you to make a DN4 driving check. You are welcome to add points into that if you would like. Or just roll and see how you do.
Yeah, I'm already stuck with the analysis paralysis. I'm going to spend 1 of my 2 driving.
All right, and then roll a d6.
You sure you don't want me to drive there?
I'm a better driver than Robbie. How did I not figure this out? He's been driving me around Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, you figured it out, Sneed.
You just say nothing about the bodies left behind.
I regret to inform you that I've managed to achieve a 2.
Great. A 2 is wonderful. You are able to drive. Like, driving on the road is not a problem. When a large black and smoky shape seems to careen out of the sky, slamming into the front of your jalopy, that's when things get difficult.
This is not my fault.
Absolutely, it's not your fault. I know it's not your fault.
Bloody hell!
Yes. Yeah. That's an excellent response, because yikes. Was anybody hanging out the window?
Leroy. No.
Leroy or Hank, were either of you hanging on the back or out the window of the car, or were you all in?
Let's just go with the fact that I'm on the runner or something.
Okay, make an athletics check as you get knocked.
I'm so dead.
It's fine.
Athletics of 4.
Okay.
So what's the DN? Yeah.
The DN is 4.
What do I get to roll for that?
You're going to roll a D6. If you would like to add any points into your athletics, you are welcome to do so.
Oh, so I can spend those before, but they add to the number that I roll.
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
So you can roll. You can spend 3 and make it an automatic success. Mm-hmm. But that would be all your points.
Yeah, exactly.
As we're starting, and I hope to begin a combat here, please know that if you fail this, you are not, like, dead.
Well, that takes the fun out of it.
Don't worry.
Road rash.
It's okay. I can always botch the fix.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm just going to use 2 athletics.
Okay.
That's a 1.
That's a you should have used 3. Express. Yeah. I see.
Can I spend a possibility?
No, but do you have any weird points? Wait, no, sorry. No.
Yes, I do.
You probably, I mean, yeah, right? You do.
I got a Benny.
I got a Benny somewhere, yeah.
Right?
Okay, I take a slide.
Yeah, so you take a slide. Everybody else who's clearly not wearing a seatbelt kind of slams
What's
forward.
That?
Comes
never
back.
Heard of such a thing.
I know, they're not invented yet. It's amazing.
I'm going to write a very stern letter to automobile creators.
Not like you're going that quickly. But the car has come to a stop. The front end has been smashed in. And just beyond your windshield is a three-eyed, smoky, flying snake that is a good 20 feet long.
Well, this is the first half of our two-part actual play recording of Gumshoe Trail of Cthulhu, Midnight at the Clock Tower. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the second part of this actual play. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. You've been listening to the Iconic Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and more information about the show. Thanks for listening.